following is a teaching from Irving Bible Church. For more information on how you can join us on a Sunday or take your next step, visit irvingbible.org.
The scripture reading for today is from Galatians 3, 1 through 5. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning by means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? Have you experienced so much in vain? If it really was in vain? So again, I ask, does God give you his Spirit and work miracles among you by the works of the law or by your believing what you heard? This is the word of God for the people of God. You may be seated.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to every preacher's favorite Sunday of the year, the Sunday where he lost an hour of sleep and so did everybody listening to him. But I got caffeine, adrenaline, and the Holy Spirit, so we should be okay. Grab your Bible, let's go Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3 this morning. If you've been around IBC for a while, you know that we are in the middle of a major renovation project on our campus. And guys, some of you haven't seen it yet, but it looks incredible and it's coming along. We're getting so close. We're going to be able to be in the early childhood space before too long. The rest of it will continue through the remainder of the spring. And it is incredible, but it has been a struggle. I remember when I was a teenager, I heard a preacher talk about sin and said that sin will take you further than you wanted to go, keep you longer than you wanted to stay, and cost you more than you wanted to pay. And I'm convinced now the same is true with a renovation project, right? It'll take you further than you wanted to go, keep you longer than you wanted to stay, and cost you more than you wanted to pay. And I came across an article this week from Architectural Digest about renovations gone wrong. And I want to just show you just a handful of these. So renovations gone wrong. Take a look. Yeah, that's going to be a real problem, right? How about this one? I think that misses the point of the door on the potty. I don't know. Which one's next? Yeah, you'd think somebody would catch this at some point along the way, right? The stairs and the doors. Now, that's some good engineering right there, right? That's creative thinking. And then this one, finally, not going to work. Sorry, we're not sharing the teepee, okay? Renovation projects gone wrong. I'm not trying to shame anybody, because I have a feeling that if I was in charge of the renovation, it would wind up something like that. But here's the good news for us this morning. The Christian life is not a self-renovation project. The Christian life is not a self-renovation project. It's not do it yourself in your own power, in your own strength, in your own ability. This morning, we are in the fourth week of a sermon series called Finding Freedom that is all about the idea that during this Lenten season, we're asking God to do a work in our lives, freeing us from the things that choke the life out of our soul. We begin week one talking about freedom from false gospels, those false stories that we tell ourselves, that we add to, that we learn Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Week two, we talked about freedom from division, that the gospel sets us free from the things in our hearts and the things in our world that deeply divide us. Last week, we talked about the idea that the gospel gives us freedom from religious performance, that we don't set ourselves in right standing with God by what we do, but by what Christ has done. And this morning, we're talking about the idea that we find freedom through the gospel, freedom from self-renovation. Because I think that if we really are paying attention, if we're really considering our lives, all of us can recognize some places that we'd like to see renovation happen. All of us have those things in our lives that we like to change. In fact, I want you just to think about it for a second. What is it in your life that you deeply desire would change? Maybe it's patterns in your thought life. Maybe it's patterns in your actions, patterns in your heart, patterns in your relationships. Maybe it's issues in your marriage or your relationship with your parents. Maybe it's your finances. Maybe it's that compulsive habit that you hate but you keep going back to. What is it in your life that you long to see renovated? The good news of the gospel is that we are finding freedom from self-renovation. And that's what Paul's getting at here in Galatians chapter 3. Look at the text with me and let's unpack it. Galatians 3, beginning of verse 1, Paul says, "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by believing what you heard?" Now, pause right there. Paul is coming in hot, right? He is ticked. "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you?" 2 weeks ago, I told you about my best friend in high school slapping me straight across the face. This is Paul's verbal slap across the face to the Galatians. "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you?" Because you're trying to add to the gospel. He says, "Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I stood right there in front of you and I preached to you the gospel of the cross. And now you're trying to add to the cross." He said, he asked them this rhetorical question: "Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by believing what you heard?" It's a rhetorical question. They should immediately know the answer. We receive the Spirit the same way that anybody receives the Spirit. The only way that anybody receives the Spirit: by grace through faith. By grace through faith. Grace, there's no way that we can earn or deserve it. It is God's grace, his unmerited favor. By grace through faith, by trusting in what Christ has done on our behalf. They receive the Spirit the same way that anybody receives the Spirit. The only way that anybody receives the Spirit: by grace through faith. I want to drive this point home. I want to ask you a series of questions. The answer to all of them, I want you to say out loud back to me. And the answer to all of them is by grace through faith. You got it? Okay. What is the only way that we can be set right with God? What is the only way that we can know that all of our sins, all of our shame, all of our regrets are forgiven? What is the only way that we can know that we will have eternal life with God? By grace through faith. Now watch this. What is the only way our lives are transformed? The only way that we experience real and deep and lasting change? By grace through faith. By grace through faith. That we don't experience real, deep, and lasting change merely by doing more and trying harder, by mustering up enough willpower or self-control. That we are transformed the same way that we are saved: by grace through faith. Friends, God is no more interested in your self-renovation project than he is in your self-salvation project. We are transformed by grace through faith. That's what Paul says in these next verses. Look, verse 3. "Are you so foolish? After beginning by means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? Have you experienced so much in vain, if it really was in vain? So again, I ask, does God give you his Spirit and work miracles among you by the works of the law or by believing what you heard?" He says, after beginning by the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? Are you trying a do-it-yourself renovation? When Paul uses the term flesh here, He's not talking about our bodies as though our physicality is the problem. New Testament scholar Scott McKnight helps us understand this meaning of Paul's use of the word flesh here in his Galatians commentary, when he says, what Paul has in mind is the total person living outside of God's will and apart from God's guiding influence through the Spirit. Anthony Thistleton clarifies even further. He says, the outlook of the flesh is the outlook oriented toward the self, that which pursues its own ends in self-sufficient independence from God. The flesh is our tendency to live in self-sufficient independence from God, the outlook oriented toward the self. And Paul says, having begun by the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? Your flesh got you into this problem. Your flesh isn't going to get you out of it. Having begun by the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? When he says finish there, he means continue living on the Christian life. And if we continue on living the Christian life by means of the flesh, we end up fighting the flesh by the flesh. This is what Paul talks about in Romans 7, that passage that Crystal read to us last week, where Paul cries out in anguish. And he says in Romans 7, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good that I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. This is the inevitable cry of anguish for anyone who is trying to fight the flesh by means of the flesh, trying to fight the flesh by our own self-effort, our own willpower. And Paul, in his cry of anguish, then concludes there in Romans 7 by saying, what a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? We've all been in that place, haven't we? We may not use Paul's words, what a wretched man that I am. But we just see things in our lives, the ways in which we have sabotaged ourselves. We say, I hate this about myself. But notice Paul's question. Who will save me from this body that is subject to death? Paul's question is not a what question. It's a who question. Not what do I do? What do I do to fix myself? What do I do to transform myself? It's not a what question. It's a who question. Who can rescue me? And if you read along into Romans 8, just as when you read along here in Galatians 3, the answer is the same. The answer to the who question is the Holy Spirit of God. What Gordon Fee refers to as God's empowering presence. That when we trust in Christ by grace through faith, that the Spirit comes into our lives, that he is always with us, empowering us through his personal presence. And this is the only way in which we experience real, deep, and lasting change. Paul says, having begun by the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? And then he asks further in again. Again, I ask, does God give you his Spirit and work miracles among you by the works of the law or by believing what you heard, by trusting, by grace, through faith? Friends, if we are to grow in the spiritual life, we will only grow as we grow in trust, as we grow in faith. If you look at the scriptures, both the Old and the New Testament, you will find story after story after story that proves this point, that God's agenda throughout the Bible is to invite his people into an ever-deepening relationship of trust. God's agenda throughout the Bible is to invite his people into an ever-deepening relationship of trust. I do this with students in class where we talk about this idea, and I have them think about stories from the Bible, from the Old Testament, from the New Testament, of characters that illustrate the truth of this point. And we just name off one story after another, one character after another, because time and time and time again, whether it's Abraham, Moses, David, Joseph, Mary, Paul, time after time, character after character proves the point that God's agenda throughout the Bible is to invite his people into an ever-deepening relationship of trust. And if that's true in story after story and character after character in the Bible, what makes you think it's not true of you? That in moment after moment, circumstance after circumstance, whatever it is that you're going through right now, God's agenda in your life is to invite you into an ever-deepening relationship of trust. We are saved by grace through faith. We're transformed by grace through faith. And the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. Paul says, after beginning by means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? His point is, having begun by means of the Spirit, now finish by means of the Spirit. God wants the Spirit renovation project, not the self-renovation project. So how do we put this into practice then in our lives? Like, what does this look like for us practically? Well, I want to do the best I can to summarize the whole Christian life in two words, right? And I realize that it's not that simple, but this, friends, is the heart of it. Two words that summarize the Christian life: attending and depending. Attending and depending. First, attending. What do we mean by that? It means paying attention to the Holy Spirit, paying attention to the reality of his presence, that at the heart of the Christian life is simply paying attention. But this can be rather discouraging if we think about it, because we find ourselves living in a world where more and more it becomes harder and harder to really pay attention to much of anything. We live, many of us, in what Linda Stone once referred to as continuous partial attention. Continuous partial attention. That we're always paying partial attention to so many things that we're not really paying attention to much of anything. As T.S. Eliot said, we are distracted from our distractions by distraction. But the heart of the spiritual life is paying attention. Day by day, moment by moment, recognizing, Spirit, you are here. In this very moment, wherever you're seated, he is here. Spirit, you are here. You are with me. I am with you. Help me to pay attention to your promptings in my heart. Help me to pay attention to your conviction of my conscience. Help me to pay attention. Attending and depending. Depending on the Spirit's power. You know, when I was a kid, we used to sing a song in church that began with a very unflattering opening line. The unflattering opening line was, I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray, find in me thine all in all. Not very flattering, is it? I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. And if that's not enough to add insult to injury, then he calls us child of weakness. We don't like to feel weak. Like, you know that feeling when you're trying to open a jar and the lid's on tight and you just can't get it open, and don't you just hate that feeling? The feeling of weakness is not a very pleasant feeling. But here's the thing. The pathway to spiritual strength is acknowledged weakness. The pathway to spiritual strength is acknowledged weakness. And the converse is also true. The pathway to spiritual failure is unacknowledged weakness. We have to come to the realization, I am weak, but you are strong. Spirit, be strong in me. Last week we said that the road to freedom begins with the recognition, I am not enough. But this week we add to that to say, our weakness and the Spirit's strength is enough. We have to acknowledge that we are weak, that he is strong, and to invite him to be strong in us, to depend on his strength. And friends, this is the reason that we engage in spiritual disciplines. The spiritual disciplines are not the means by which we transform ourselves, right? The spiritual disciplines are not part of the self-renovation project. The spiritual disciplines are the means by which we attend and depend. We carve out space in our life. We engage in bodily practices that help us to pay attention to the Spirit's presence and depend, open ourselves up to the Spirit's power. I remember years ago, I got a random email from a friend of a friend who reached out to me and wanted me to talk to him about the spiritual disciplines. He wanted to meet me for coffee. He heard I taught this stuff, and so he wanted to meet me for coffee to talk about the spiritual disciplines. Well, I appointed the time and place and was sitting there waiting for him as he began to walk up, and I saw him begin to walk up to me, and the first thing that I noticed about this guy is ripped. I mean, he is chiseled, right? And he's got one of those tiny t-shirts on. I mean, this guy's clearly spent a lot of time in the gym. And he's coming to me to talk about the spiritual disciplines. Well, before I really got into the spiritual disciplines, I wanted to get underneath the question. What's the question behind the question? Why is it that you're wanting to talk about the spiritual disciplines? So I began to ask some probing questions, and he became pretty vulnerable in the conversation and just opened up about some of the struggles that he was having in his life. He was going places that he shouldn't go, and he was doing things that he shouldn't do. He was looking at things that he shouldn't be looking at. And he was coming to me to talk about the spiritual disciplines, right? Teach me how to fix myself. And the first thing that we had to establish is that the spiritual disciplines are not the means by which we fix ourselves. They're the means by which we attend and depend. We pay attention to the Spirit's presence and open ourselves up to the Spirit's power to bring transformation in our lives. So this morning, I just want to offer you a simple practice that's become a really important part of my own spiritual life. A simple little breath prayer, right? A breath prayer is simply a prayer that you say with the rhythm of your breathing. You breathe in, you breathe out. And as you deep breathe, you repeat this prayer. You can repeat it several times. And this is a breath prayer that's been very helpful to me. It's simply to say, Spirit, be my strength. Spirit, be my strength. Time after time, day after day, moment by moment, throughout my life, there are so many circumstances in which that is the appropriate prayer for me. And I just want us to do that together. First, I want to just hear you take deep breaths. Inhale, exhale. See if I can hear you through your mask. So let's just take a deep inhale and exhale. And then with the inhale, Spirit, be my strength. Spirit, be my strength. Day after day, moment after moment, paying attention to the Spirit's presence, opening ourselves up to the Spirit's power, attending and depending. Friends, the good news of the gospel is that the Christian life is not a a self-renovation project. God is no more interested in your self-renovation than he is in your self-salvation. That we are saved by grace through faith, and we are changed, real, deep, and lasting change by grace through faith. As we pay attention to the Spirit's presence and open ourselves up to the Spirit's power and say, Spirit, be my strength. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for the good news of the gospel. Because we recognize the truth in our lives. We've all experienced that sin will take us farther than we wanted to go. And sin will keep us longer than we wanted to stay. And sin will cost us more than we wanted to pay. And all of us have patterns in our lives. Things that we hate about ourselves, that we want to see changed, that we need to see changed. But we acknowledge this morning, we can't change ourselves. We can't fix ourselves. But you can. By your Spirit who comes and takes residence in our lives, we can experience that real and deep and lasting change. By paying attention to his presence, opening ourselves to his power. Lord, we long for your transformation in our lives. We pray that you would have your way in us. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Irving Bible Church. For more information on how to join us on a Sunday or take your next step, visit irvingbible.org.